You may be looking for brains, but you have found Nutty Bites.
Nutty Bites for you today, and today we're going to be talking about cosplay. But first, with me today, I have some pretty cool guests, but I also have...
Hi, I'm not tech, but this is a pretty cool cosplay, right?
And I have the pretty cool guest of...
Hi, I'm Angela.
Hi, I'm Heath.
And all of us cosplay. And all of us do it for fun. I don't think any of us do it professionally, although we do have some award-winning cosplayers here. Just a few. Yes. So, first, let's start with that. So, Heath, you have most recently won an award for your cosplay.
I did. I mean, we've been doing this for years, but just for the first time, I thought I was finally ready to enter a contest, and this was a rather small con. It was called Cosplayseum.
Cosplayseum.
I'm sorry, Cosplayseum. Thank you.
Yeah.
They've been. I think they're bigger in. Is it San Diego?
Yeah.
San Diego.
It's Cosplayseum Con, which I can't remember how that's spelled. It's sort of a.
It's like Cosplayseum.
Yes.
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 But yeah, I think they alternate now between San Diego one year and Atlanta the next year. And since they were in Atlanta really close by and it seemed to be really cosplay focused, then we were like, yeah, sure, we'll give it a whirl. And it was, you know, sort of their first year in Atlanta, much smaller, but it was still a lot of fun. And because it was smaller, I felt like, well, maybe, you know, I can enter in the other big con that we go to is Dragon Con, which is sort of known as a super cosplay-centered con where lots of professionals
so much cosplay
are, and I didn't even want to bother with that just
tens
because...
Of thousands of people, and they jam an entire city center and multiple hotels. And
yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. The big leagues. Yep.
But yeah, so I've been working on my Dr. Octopus cosplay for a long time and had finally gotten it to work, and yeah, I won the best men's cosplay. So I was really happy.
A Power Ranger gave you the award.
That's right. Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And Tech, tell us about your little special award, if you can remember it.
I received a couple.
Mm-hmm.
But I cosplay as an original character known as the Clockwork Doctor. And
yes!
If you're a fan of the podcast, I'm sure you've seen the doc around in one form or another. But it's me as a Venetian plague doctor done steampunk. So big beak, glasses, lots of doodads hanging on a big long coat, and I walk around, look scary, and make children cry. I don't enter a lot. I don't enter cosplay competitions because I don't think they're fair anymore. And you know the trepidations that you guys have about going to a big con. I feel that at small cons, and we went to the first time I wore the costume was a few years ago to HalCon in Halifax, Nova Scotia, to the first one of the new generation of HalCons. And there was a family dressed as various members of the Avengers. Mm-hmm. So they had the dad of the family dressed as Tony Stark with the glow arc reactor in his chest. And his wife was dressed, I think, as Black Widow in some type of outfit. And then they had their two little boys dressed as Captain America and Nick Fury with a Sharpie'd on beard and a little stub of a cigar. And aren't they darling? They weren't local. They were from the southern east coast of the United States, and they were traveling up the eastern seaboard to every cosplay con they could to win the trophy and move on to the next one. And these were the
same. Because they were a business.
Yeah, because they were professional cosplayers. They had no connection to Halifax, no connection to the local
scene. You hire culture. Them.
Yeah.
They make your costume.
Right. There was another group that were... they were dressed as Sith. One was a Darth Maul type. The other one, the lady, was a Twi'lek with the head braids. And
I may have seen.
And they did
like either them.
They
or...
did a choreographed dance routine with the lightsabers. Yes. And if you wanted their photo, it would cost you money. And these were regular attendees of a con walking around the con demanding cash for their photo.
Yeah, like headshot photos, not just like take a picture with me.
Oh, you couldn't take a photo of them. No. You had to purchase the photos.
Yeah.
They weren't invited in as guests?
No. These were regular attendees of a con demanding cash for photos.
And like I've seen cosplay guests before, but not that. That's all.
Well, of course.
That's really
and odd. If any of like the big names, you know, if the Spiral Cats are coming, then sure, it's normal for them to, because they're invited, you know, whatever. But
that's how they pay for them to get there.
I'm off on a huge rant and a tirade here, but you know, these pros ruin the fun for the rest of us. I don't have my own vacuum form machine. I don't have an industrial lab's worth of fiberglassing equipment or professional paint booth, or heaven forbid, as I'm seeing now, professional models to wear my costume.
Yes. Say that a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm just a skinny brown skin dude. I'm not gonna compete with that. And I'm not a professional tailor. I don't, you know, it's a hobby. And the doc was a happy accident. It was a great costume that I made by myself, and I have a lot of fun with it. And this is where the play aspect of the cosplay becomes a lot more fun than the cause part, because walking around horrifying children is a lot more fun to me than standing on stage to a music and light show routine, so I can do my little, I don't know, whatever dance I have to do on stage to earn maximum points from the judges. I don't care.
So the awards that you've gotten from just walking around, this is where I'm going here.
Right. So I've won multiple awards for best walking around costume.
Nice.
At Balticon, or Floor Choice Awards, or a lot of...
What was the Costume Society?
I've gotten a couple from them of just basically little ribbons for my con badge of, hey, we noticed your costume, we think it's cool. And to me, that's from like local costume societies. And I think to me that's worth more than any accolades on stage. Somebody noticed me, thought it was cool, and said, here, wear a ribbon on your con badge. And that was worth it. And then I walked around, turned the corner, and horrified children.
And we'll get more into the costume contests and stuff as we talk, but I just wanted to have like a little bit of like rep stuff to talk. And I know that and this is coming from me. I'm giving the rep. Angela's Squirrel Girl cosplay this year was the best I had seen, and I saw a lot of Squirrel Girl cosplays. It was amazing.
It was really good.
Now, I did see some, like we used a store. In fact, we did that cosplay because we were in, what was that store called?
It was Second and Charles.
Second and Charles, and that's just, you know, nerd stuff, wall to wall, really great shop. But just in the bargain bin in a corner, there was like a squirrel tail and little squirrel ears for $1 a piece.
And those usually run about $20, maybe $20 for the tail and like $15 for the ears or something like that.
Yeah, and we both read Squirrel Girl avidly. Yeah, and sort of like, so you want to try and throw together a costume? She's like, oh, maybe we'll see. Why? It's $1. And so, but I did see some handmade tails that were really amazing. We might try and upgrade with that.
Yeah, I saw some like actual like fabric, and like they stuffed them with tails to sort of try to get the shape of it, because she has a very pillowy shape.
She does.
One.
Another epic Squirrel Girl cosplay was done by Celix this year, and she needed a separate chair for her tail. That's how billowy she got.
Nice.
Yeah, so she's there because she also does the science track, and she's there on a science panel with an extra chair for her tail, which was just incredible.
Those are the problems you don't think about. Yeah. With Doc Ock, I did not realize how long I would have to stand up without sitting down. Somebody at Coslisium Con was like, got an idea. So I like had to straddle the chair backwards, like the cool teacher.
Yep.
Let's rap about drugs. Cool. But it, you know, it got me some relief for 5 minutes of sitting. It was awesome.
That's awesome. And
what you need is a like a small stool, just something to lean on, that the leg looks like one of the extra arms, so that you can just sort of lean on it and not have it break the costume.
There you go.
But by that point, you'd be Dr. Neptopus, so that would be different.
So I have not won anything, but I will say that my highest praise is when you're walking through Artist Alley and various artists want your picture. That's really cool.
Yes. Who took yours?
Oh, I can't. It's happened quite a few times. I can't even remember all of the ones. But also the top-notch highest praise was when I was dressed as a Moogle, and there was this little girl who came for repeated hugs from the Moogle.
Little kids at cons are just the best. That's what it's...
I've grown fond of cosplaying as characters that kids can identify with simply for that. I mean, it's... The adults love the cosplay just as much, and the kids just go nuts. And so that's really one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about cosplay is, and it goes into Tech's rant a little bit here. There is a strong presence in the community, however you want to describe that, of professional cosplayers. And many of them get to the point of they're people in costume, but they're not exactly what I would consider cosplayers. And the difference being is the play aspect. If you're trying to make a movie realistic look and it's just, and there's definite props for the costuming and the talent and everything there. But if you don't have a relationship to the character, if you're not interested in the play side of it, if you're there just to win awards or promote your business or make money, it's a little bit different, in my opinion, because to me, the best part of putting a costume on at a convention is walking around and playing out the part. I mean, I don't think I'm Ursula when I'm dressed up as Ursula, but... You know, when I see a little kid and I ask them to sing for me, that's the best part of the costume. And so there
was that one little kid at Halloween last year who didn't know any Little Mermaid songs, but he knew everything from the Aristocats.
Yes.
So he just sang that he was Thomas O'Malley.
And we sang together. It was pretty great. And the dad was just dying because he's like, not only is this person singing with my child, but she knows these obscure Disney songs that nobody else knows.
Where the horn makes you wish you were born. Yep.
Yes.
There are some great songs in that.
That's a great movie.
I haven't watched it in years.
Watch it. It's on Netflix.
I will give like one exception to like the professional cosplayers thing. I feel like the ones that host workshops are there to help people who cosplay are sort of the exceptions to the cosplay professionals rule.
Agreed.
Because I've gone to so many workshops and like I've learned how to make a dress form out of a t-shirt, which for someone who, you know, the mannequins don't really come in my size necessarily.
Yep. Then or proportions making, and they're really expensive. Yes, I have done the same. Yeah, I don't mean to say like if you make money being a cosplayer, you're not a cosplayer, but there is definitely a big difference. And I went to one panel and it was just hair stuff and it was fantastic. I loved it.
There was one that I went to that she was talking about making dresses and we really learned how to do like the detail and the boning and like how to shape the dresses.
I don't know what that was, but it was creepy. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. And
you're five.
Like she did Disney princesses and Disney villains, except like from different time periods. So she would do like a Baroque Cinderella.
That's fun.
Or like a Renaissance Ursula.
Hipster My Little Mermaid.
Like, yeah.
I loved Hipster Little Mermaid. So I saw a Hipster Little Mermaid at HalCon many years ago. And she's got the glasses that look way too much like the ones I'm wearing. And with a sign that she holds up. And it's like, I left the sea because it's too current.
Nice.
Aww. I know. Isn't that wonderful?
It was great. But that's the other part that I love about cosplay.
It's the play
part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mashup cosplays are the best.
Do I need to look screen accurate? No. I need to embody the character. So when I was my Moogle, I didn't dress up as a giant teddy bear to walk around in July, in the middle of July, in a giant teddy bear costume. I turned it into a dress.
It was basically an apron.
Yeah, it was
basically an apron with kitty ears.
Yeah, it was. I made the ears, and I attached them to a headband, and my friend made the pom pom for me because she crochets, and I put it on the end of a rifle spring, and I made the wings out of felt, and the stomach was an apron, and then it was a white tank top with a white circle skirt. It was the cheapest, fastest, easiest cosplay I have ever done, and I got the highest praise from it, which was pretty impressive because I didn't know I was going to the cosplay until 3 days beforehand.
Those are always fun.
Yeah. And by the way, flannel, surprisingly, really cool because it breathes. And in the summertime, flannel is a good fabric.
I'm thinking back to the videos that I've seen, and I think some of them, you know, looking at the big walking around panic inducing 65,000 attendee cons that I am never going to. and my favorite cosplays are the ones that are fun. And I don't care how screen accurate it is, I'm not going to get close enough to see it. So when it's things like guys that dress like soldiers, but they've managed to use the same fabric as the hotel uses in its carpets, so they're camouflaged into these really gaudy rugs.
The Marriott carpet. Yes.
Exactly. Yes. The guys who dress up like the guy and girl who dress up like Thomas and Martha Wayne, Batman's parents, and everywhere that there's a Batman cosplayer posing for a camera, they just lay down dead behind him. Mm-hmm. Or we've all seen the videos of that one guy on the West Coast who does the really, really cool Deadpool cosplay, who does Deadpool doing inappropriate things at cons and, you know, like joining in with the girls when they're doing their dance routines, or going up and fawning all over the other cosplayers and just having a lot of fun with the character of Deadpool.
And before anyone objects to that, by the way, he gets permission before he does that.
He got permission from the cosplayer before he smacked her on the behind.
I've seen so many Deadpool cosplayers.
I was going to talk about that specifically. There's the
one famous guy that started the meme of it all. Mm-hmm. And you see the GIFs all the time. And what people didn't realize is he had permission every time. So then copycats thought, if I'm dressed as Deadpool, I can do whatever I want. No, you can't.
Yes.
When you're wearing the cosplay, that does not negate consent, just like if they're wearing the cosplay, that does not negate consent.
I see that with several, because Deadpool is popular, and partially for that reason, because you can do zany stuff and kind of get away with it. And to some degree, that's fine. But some people do use it as an excuse to be highly inappropriate. Mm. I saw the same thing with Rick Sanchez this year.
From Rick and Morty.
Like people just love to go around because, hey, you can flip people off and it means peace among worlds. And because that was on an episode, so it's completely fine to flip off 5-year-olds.
Yeah. You gotta have a dose of reality there.
And
you
like
gotta understand.
yelling sexual innuendos in the middle. Those kind of fans actively drive away people from watching a good show.
Yeah. Well, it's like the bronies that go out of their way to horrify children. Yeah. And it's like, no, you're not a brony. You're a jerk. And I would say something else if it wasn't this podcast.
There's another thing about, you know, there's some things in the cosplay world that are funny once. Mm-hmm. one thing that I love at the big cons that there are some people, and there was a trend, I think it was at Dragon Con, of these absolutely gorgeous cardboard Gundam and Robotech suits that people were making accurate.
They're in the parade every year now,
right, but they were getting more and more complicated, and I've seen, you know, Transformers that actually transformed, and like cars that actually wheeled around and then turned into guys, and there was one person who showed up wearing a refrigerator box with the word Gundam sharpied on the front of it.
Yes.
Okay, funny. Hilarious. Yes. Once. Why have I seen that same stupid Gundam cardboard box at every con since? Yeah. It's not funny anymore. You are lazy.
Yes.
Yeah. The Pepakira crowd, they do some really cool stuff. Just folded cardboard and paint, and it's amazing.
And let's not forget Gundam out of Pocky boxes. That's a lot of Pocky.
Yeah.
No, it was Optimus.
Oh, it was Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime out of Pocky boxes.
It was a lot of Pocky.
One of my favorite mashups I ever saw. I took a picture of her as soon as I saw her. But it was somebody in Stormtrooper armor, but she didn't have a helmet. She had a white wig and white contacts. She was a Stormtrooper.
There you go. That's awesome.
The X-Men trooper. Oh. I just guffawed and she, yeah, I think she was like super pleased that somebody caught what she was doing.
There is that risk. And I think we've all experienced it in one form or another of I'm trying to cosplay something I absolutely love. And there are people that don't get it. And they're like, mm-hmm. I know you're in a costume. I don't know what it is.
Well, I have a white mask and a beak on the Clockwork Doctor costume. And if you don't know a lot of history, a lot of people don't know what plague doctors are. And everybody agrees that it looks kind of familiar. Everybody thought the first year that I was from Assassin's Creed 2 because they were in Venice and there are plague doctors in the game. But the one I get most often is still, oh my God, you're steampunk spy versus spy. I get it. I don't have a cartoon bomb and there's no black masked version running around, you know, foiling me at everything. But no, I am not spy versus spy.
Oh, remember when we got the Are You Star Wars?
We were walking back to our hotel in Jedi outfit and some non-con people were just driving by and like slowed down and rolled down the window and yelled out, "Hey, are you Star Wars?"
We were like, "Yes.
Yes, we are. We are all of Star Wars.
Behold us."
I went to Balticon one year as the fighting version of Pam Poovy from Archer. Mm-hmm. And this requires a lot of makeup to simulate bruising, bloody lip.
I wrote the whole poem on her back in Sharpie.
Right? And tech did the entire poem and the kill count on my back in Sharpie that you could see because I was wearing a tank top and wraps for my wrists.
Yeah.
And so I'm walking around the con and about half the people were like, oh my gosh, that is Pam. That is amazing. That's a fantastic cosplay. And the other half were like, what happened? And this is a convention where I know a lot of people. I'm a panelist. I do way too many panels as of last year. And I have a lot of friends there. So there was a lot of concern. And at one point, a good friend of mine came up and he put his arm around me and he says, please tell me this is a costume and I don't have to be worried. Oh. And I said, I had an idea that it was a costume because you're wearing a wig, but also it didn't help that the year before, another good friend of ours, Stephen Grenade, had tripped over a median going back to his hotel and ended up going to the hospital and had like horrible, horrible things. Yeah. And so everybody was horribly concerned for me. But yeah, it was. So there is that issue of you're who? I'm Pam Poovy from Archer. So what's that? I don't think I've seen that show.
So I have a question for all of you.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
There is a section of cosplay that I 42. Really enjoy called crossplay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where guys dress as girls, girls dress as guys, or you dress as the character in the Lady Spider-Man or Lady Deadpool or, you know.
Yeah, you cosplay as a character that is a gender other than yours.
Right. And then you sort of go topsy-turvy with it, and there are some great results. So if it's okay to play a character outside of your gender, why is it not okay, in a lot of cases, to play a character outside of your body type?
It is okay.
It is.
Unfortunately, the internet is cruel.
The internet is a cruel and horrible place. And this is my point because, if I wanted to dress as a black character, I would get flack. If a black person wanted to get dressed as a white character, I don't know how many white Wonder Women I've seen or black Wonder Women I've seen get flack for it that character. And then, the same thing with the skinny people playing plus size or plus size playing skinny people, and being as I'm the only, let's call it, under normal sized person here in this podcast, as average sized podcasters and cosplayers, what do you guys think about this? How do we deal with this? What do we do?
So I, by and large, disagree with just about all of that flack because, it's about loving the character and being screen accurate or the right body type or gender or sex or whatever else to match that character is secondary, I think, because, generally we cosplay because we like the character and we want to show our love for that character. The one area that I personally am uncomfortable with and that I urge caution is when a white person wants to play a black character. That is absolutely fine. I personally, because of the history
racism.
Well,
don't put on blackface is what you're trying to say.
Exactly.
because of the history of minstrel shows and blackface, sure. That still calls up a lot of ugliness for some people. I'm not comfortable
portray the character.
Yes. Yeah. And you can do that without coloring your skin darker. Just because, and so there's one area where I think it's better to err on the side of caution, mainly because people were horrible for a long time.
Sure. And here's the thing that gets me. Hang on. Here's the thing that gets me about, like, when somebody wants, you know, white person wants to play a black character and then they do blackface. And I don't care if it looks like minstrel blackface or it looks screen accurate, you know, like Ben Kingsley Gandhi. No. You don't do it, because you'll notice when a black person cosplays as a white character, they don't ever put on white face, do they? I mean, unless they're like playing the character from Reboot and, you know, that is actually white and not, you know, peachy pink, whatever.
No, clown makeup is not white face.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, so if the reverse never happens, why do white people think that they need to put on a skin tone? The only time that should ever happen is if it's something like blue or purple or actually white or actually dark. And even then, you make sure you're doing it for the right reasons.
Because there's not a history of people oppressing and mocking blue people culture, because there's no blue people.
Yeah, so, like Smurfs be damned. Nobody cares.
Yes. For you, Brady. Papa Smurf always says, don't appropriate my... sorry.
Yes, exactly. So, and honestly, that whole thing in cosplay made me really nervous to actually do any skin toning when I did Ursula. And I worked on that cosplay for a long time because I was really afraid of it. I ended up doing two versions of it. I've done a purple skinned Ursula and my natural skin Ursula. Guess what? They're both awesome.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
I'm a skinny brown dude. There's very few characters that fit my natural skin tone and body type that are out there. And there's only one in modern popular culture that I can think of, and it's Altair from Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a skinny brown dude. Put on a white hoodie, put on some jeans, perch ominously upon things, parkour my way through a hall. It would be kind of okay, except there's no way my ankle and my knees would ever survive me parkouring anything. I'm 39 years old. I've got a level 3 sprain on my right ankle, and I've had knee surgery. It is not happening.
Just go to the top of the stairs and do a jumping front brake fall off the top, and you're fine.
And then just lay there drinking rye for the rest of the con, because
and security comes over and kicks you out.
Are you okay? I'm fine, dude. I'm just hammered.
You'd be like the only Altair with like a working knowledge of every weapon on your costume, though.
This is true.
Oh, did you get those costume blades from EB Games? No. I made these. These are real. Can't do that.
By the way, don't bring real blades as cosplay accessories.
No, yes.
And keep the real guns at home, please. People.
Yes, yes.
My issue.
But like, here, also, oh, go ahead,
yeah, please.
My issue here is I have a lot of trepidation playing this character, because the whole concept of the Assassin's Creed game is that it's the Muslim assassins facing off against the Knights Templar and against and the whole Crusade. And in these turbulent, racially charged times that we do very much live in, me as a white Catholic who happens to have darker skin, walking around as a Muslim character who hates Christians, I don't know. It could lead to some things. And I've already had guns pointed at me because they thought I was Muslim. I don't need this again.
By the way, that was in the Middle East.
Right, that was in the Middle East. And so, the fellow troops thought that I was a local that had stolen a uniform and they needed to confirm my ID. So that got a little weird for a while. I don't want to go through that again in downtown Baltimore or Atlanta or, you know...
Halifax. Excuse me, can you confirm your identity for me, Kay? That'd be really nice.
But I have no problem playing outside my body type.
Sure.
Yeah. I will say the one thing that I would love to do is I would love to see a skinny kingpin. I would love to do a skinny kingpin. The problem is I don't look good in a double-breasted suit, so I won't do it. Because if I do,
apparently he has standards,
right? Because if I do a single-breasted suit, I change the character completely. I also need to go around killing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even Heath could do it together.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I
don't think Heath would do an amazing kingpin.
Oh, well, we were thinking
kingpin. I've seen some really good kingpins.
Yeah, I've seen some amazing kingpins. Of course, they all go whole hog and shave the head and everything. And I don't know that I would want. I have a
your
really
locks
weird
are just
shaped
too luscious
head.
For that.
Bald is beautiful, baby.
Oh, bald yes. And it works for a lot. My head is so oddly shaped under this mop that it doesn't work for me like it does for some people.
So, Angela, have you ever thought about cross-playing as Kingpin? Because bald is beautiful, baby.
Well, you know, probably pull off a...
No.
Yeah.
So, going back to your other point, my instinct would be to say that because the Assassin's Creed games have become so iconic and that aesthetic has become so iconic, you probably wouldn't have an issue. But then again, I'm not a person of color, so I don't have to worry about that sort of thing. So that's interesting to get that perspective there. Like, because of the way that they portray the characters, both the Templars and the Assassins are believing in what they're doing, and I don't think it's necessarily anti either one. Well, except for the Borgias, but those guys were jerks.
Anti-Borgia all the time.
Yeah,
There's a wonderful disclaimer that comes across when
the people of many faiths. Yeah,
yeah, that it was made by a team of multiple faiths, and it was done with respect, and it's not made to show any political ideation of any kind. It's just meant to have fun with history.
Yeah, well, yeah. But there have been instances where I've seen pictures of people playing characters from games and people not knowing what game they're from and think that they're in an appropriative costume. One, I can't remember the name of the game, but it was a created costume for that game, and the people who saw it and got upset thought that they were wearing a Native American tribal costume.
Which there is a long
in Canada
history.
By the way, we'd say First Nations. Original clan anyway,
and there's a long
terminology.
And there's a long history of like treating Native American clothes as costumes and basically treating Native Americans as historical, mythical, magical figures.
Yes.
Talk to animals and trees and stuff.
There's been a whole thing the last couple of Halloweens about my culture is not your costume.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a very good message that I think people should listen to.
Yeah.
But for me, most of my cosplays don't fit into my body type, but some of them do. And I will say that for a long time, I wanted to do Wonder Woman. And years ago, I kept saying, I have to wait till I get smaller. And you know what happens if you wait till you get smaller? You're never going to do it. Or if you have to wait till insert the blank. No, you're just never going to do it. Even when I said I wanted to do Ursula, which is one of the ones that fits into my body type, I have to wait till I get good enough or I can come up with or I need enough money for this. But even enough money, I found much cheaper ways to do things.
Right. And like the tentacles, which was
pool noodles.
Yeah, it was chopped down pool noodles and coat hangers hung from a belt under the skirt.
Yeah.
It came out great.
It came out fantastically.
So can we ruin the secret? Can we ask what Doc Ock's tentacles are made from?
Very close to what you just said.
Do you want to go through the epic saga of Dr. Octopus? Because
the epic saga.
This was like 3-4 years.
So sure. My original Doc Ock costume years ago was a wireframe hooked up to the A-frame that you would wear a backpack on. The wires were just sort of crudely wrapped around it and then sticking out. And then I put conduit cable over that. So they were metal, but they were really small. They didn't quite match the look of the comic. And it looked pretty good. And then I think I made the claws out of foam.
Yeah.
They were okay.
They were fine.
I was overall okay with it. But then I wanted to do, you know, a thicker tentacles. And so I came up with the idea of using PVC and then covering that and painting it. And so I got a heat gun and learned to bend PVC. If you ever do that, by the way, be extremely careful, because when you melt that stuff, it releases chemicals that will just destroy your insides. So yeah.
Do that outside.
Do it outside, wear a mask, be smart about that. So I did that, and I hooked it up to a frame that I made. It was a piece of wood, not a good piece of wood. So I'm sort of the anti-tech in terms of not knowing how to engineer anything. I was just sort of making stuff up.
The story that I love to say is that the making the Plague Doctor mask, I glued my hands together either to each other or to themselves 5 different times, 5 nice. Different ways with 5 different chemicals.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's like every layer. It's like, all right, so this is the layer where I use wood glue. My hands are stuck. And this is paper mache. My hands are stuck. And this is hot glue. Ow, my hands are stuck.
Wow.
Oh, and this is insulator foam. My hands are stuck.
Right, this is insulation foam. My hands are stuck together and goopy.
But that was the year that we accidentally left the whole frame outside overnight.
And it rained, and then the wood got soft, and then it cracked.
Yeah.
So I tried it again with a much better piece of wood, and I rebent the arms a little differently.
This was like the next year.
Yeah, next year I was ready to go for Dragon Con. It was going to be awesome. The rig worked. We took it to the con, but you had to screw the arms on and off, or bolt them on and off. And I was doing that the night before, and it cracked. It just cracked, the whole thing.
Too much weight, right?
Yes, too much weight. Because that year I was using
the
metal.
PVC and...
Over the PVC was tailpipe metal, and it looked awesome. And it looks just like the comic. It's the best material I've found to match what Doc Ock arms.
You made all 8 arms out of exhaust pipe.
4, but yeah.
Yeah.
What did that weigh?
A lot.
Enough to break the frame.
But enough to break the frame.
Yeah, I think an arm fell off that night. And then we were trying to nail it on the next morning, and it just cracked because we didn't have a...
My heart shattered in my chest. I had worked so hard on that, and it looked so good. But I gave up on the metal. So finally, the one that worked was using pool noodles over... thick wire, not coat hanger wire. It's a little higher gauge than that, but
I actually used a floral like 12.
So this was pretty thick gauge so that I could get the shape right. Put pool noodles over that, and then sealed it with Plastidip, and then painted it, and used I think black tape to get the sections.
Electrical tape.
I made the claws out of the foam hair curlers.
Oh, nice.
So they worked out really nicely, and they're bendable and paintable. And then I put an LED light in the middle of the 3 claws, so it looks very sinister.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then as like a last-minute addition, you found this like 50-cent Spider-Man mask.
By the way, makes the costume.
Oh, right. That's the one that's
so weird. I worked so hard on all of the tentacles and getting the right coat and everything else and the cummerbund. And I don't know why Doc Ock loves his yellow cummerbund, but he does. And it looks fabulous on him.
Yeah, so, that's why he loves it.
The one that we use looks like a belt that Beyonce would wear.
Yes.
Except we have like the sort of gold rhinestone-y things on the back.
Yes.
We just see the yellow belt.
But yeah, all the work that I put into this costume, and 90% of the comments that got were, oh, I love the Spider-Man mask. And
I'm like, the 50-cent Spider-Man mask.
Yep. But you know what? If it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I have to, as sort of a pit crew, I have to drill him in and out of these arms.
It's very portable because the arms come off of the frame. And so she can just, and I rigged everything.
Pit crew.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So
who is tired and in tears?
That brings me to a pretty big topic. But before we move on to that, I just want you to know the reason why everybody notices the Spider-Man mask is because you did the arms so well that if you didn't do them well, the Spider-Man mask, nobody would care about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why it works so well. But partners or having people with you is really important.
Oh my word.
Yeah.
Cosplay. So we are 2 couples who cosplay. So we have our partners built in.
Yep.
It's really fortunate. I'm sorry for those of you who your partner, companion, does not cosplay or, you know, people that do not have a partner or a companion, but
severely limited possibilities. Yeah.
Yeah. Find a friend. And when you're going to a con, if you're staying at a hotel, make sure you're sharing a room with someone who can assist you, who is willing to assist you, or is into cosplay themselves. Because especially if they're into cosplay themselves, you can help them. They can help you. How many courses have you put me in and taken me out of their tech?
I like courses.
It sounds great. Except it's not nearly as sexy when it's for a cosplay.
No, but... Yeah. It's one of these labors of love.
Yeah.
That
will destroy your hands.
Sure. And that first time, every time that she's like, that Nutty says, "Can you lace me into this thing?" I say, "Sure." And my knee goes into the small of her back. What are you doing? Do you want in or not?
Like, I don't have to. You don't have to cut off oxygen. It's just holding shape. Because what I use. I don't use a corset to like change my waist shape. I actually use it as a frame.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The corsets I have are steel boned and I can attach things to them and I can put things over it and it becomes the frame. But
there is a difference.
He constantly wants to like Victorian, you know, make me scream while I get laced into this.
You can't scream because I've closed your diaphragm.
Yeah.
Noise. The difference, there is a difference between corseting and corsetry.
Yes, exactly.
And so, corseting, wearing a corset for fashion. Corsetry, trying to set a Guinness World Record for a 13-inch waist.
But there are many things like writing a poem on my back or, okay, I'm in everything. Can you tie my shoes? Or...
Yep.
Yes.
Can you put my boots on and I'm off?
Nutty, help me down these stairs. I can't see past my beak.
Yeah, yeah. There's that being the guide. And that's the other thing. If one of you has a complicated costume that needs assistance,
yes,
only one of you can wear one of those. The other person, you can't have two complicated cosplays. So you have to work out who's wearing what when.
We were super careful about this. So when I was wearing Doc Ock, she did Squirrel Girl. Because they're both Marvel, but the Squirrel Girl was relatively easy. It had an inflatable blow-up tail, but that's not anything really to worry about. When she was doing Rose Quartz from Steven Universe, which is the big hoop skirt.
Platform shoes. To try to get some height on Heath.
Then I just went with Greg Universe because that's a t-shirt and jeans so that I could direct her through doorways and escalators and crowded elevators.
The escalators were fun.
Yeah.
So for anyone who doesn't know Steven Universe, which even if you haven't seen it, you've probably seen pictures. Just think of Kaylee's shindig dress.
It's
very similar. Yeah.
Which, by the way, you could probably just convert that to a Kaylee shindig cosplay as well.
So,
which, by the way, we just real quick, we talked about cosplaying and things that are not your body type. But whenever I see something that I can cosplay in my body type, I'm like, yes, give me that.
Excited. Yes. What's her name from Borderlands that I want to do?
Oh, I can't remember her name.
Like she's Big Apple or something.
Yeah, Scooter's sister.
Bertha. I don't know her name.
But she's amazing. And that cosplay basically involves being topless in a set of overalls. And I am all for this if you want to do this cosplay.
She is fat positive. She is inappropriate. Ellie, that's her name.
Yeah, she walks around killing people with a car crusher.
Yeah, she's amazing. And it is not a fat character, but it looks like it, but it's got an hourglass shape. No. She is fat and she looks fat and it's
There's a character from cosplay. There's a character from Borderlands that all of the pretty girls cosplay, which is the girl who runs the bar and it's like a super sexy little sort of Victorian number with a tiny little fascinator top hat and like almost like a white mime.
Moxie.
Yeah. Moxie with like the white mime face. Yeah. Her daughter, Ellie, who was kicked out of the house for being fat.
I didn't realize that's her daughter. Yeah. Oh, wow.
And she runs a wrecker yard and she kills people in her car crusher and she gets all the best lines in Borderlands 2 because she's hilarious.
Yeah. But so I just sent spoilers, you guys a link
by the way,
of
massive spoilers
for Ellie. Yeah,
I sent you a link of Ellie's wiki, by the way, just to give you a visual there.
Oh,
but
nice.
Yeah, when you see someone that you can fit into the body type, like there's this person who cosplays at HalCon. He looks like a young Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm.
So all he does are Harrison Fords, and they're amazing. So if you look like somebody on TV, sure, do it.
Yeah. But nobody should feel constrained to that.
Yeah.
But as somebody who is, you know, larger, when there's, Ursula, oh my God, how cool was it to cosplay as Ursula?
Yeah, and like some of my favorites, like I won't say that's the only, because I've read Spider-Man comics since I was 5. I've always loved Doc Ock, but the fact that he is like a bigger dude and I am a bit of a better physical match. Same with Penguin.
Your Penguin is great, especially when Angela does Batgirl.
Batgirl is awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like I do sort of, if there's a character that I am invested in, but especially if it matches my body type and I can be a little closer matched, that's exciting. But yeah, people, I don't think anyone should feel constrained to that, but always cosplay what you're comfortable with.
Exactly.
Right. So is there a cosplay out there that either by sake of physics or by lack of money or lack
skill.
Of skill in costuming that's your gold standard? It's the God, I wish I could do that, but I'm not there.
What are we
reaching for?
The Iron Man Mark I armor. Like the big steel, big metal box. I want to try that someday. Which, that's another one that could go over my portly frame and still look perfectly screen accurate. But, no, yeah, the design work that would go into something like that. Well, I mean, it would have to be foam, but you would still have to have enough framing. And I've seen people do that. And of course, I've seen regular Iron Man costumes that I think were better than the ones in the movies at Dragon.
Yeah.
Like the masks actually, they don't use CGI. The masks actually lift up and the lights do the thing and their sound and everything. And it blows my mind that people make this stuff. And you've got a team of 100 people making it happen on screen. You get one person with a lot of time and talent to make it for that blows my mind.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think my dream one is Rita Repulsa.
That would be
from the Power Rangers TV show.
Classic Rita.
The classic Rita, not the weird green destroyed armor.
I mean, destroyed.
With the weird horns.
Yeah. Yes. The big.
The Madonna bra.
Things.
The weird
hair.
The
Madonna bra. And if you look at her costume, it is so intricate. Like, there's so many details, and I would want to make it as screen accurate as possible because I think that would be fun. Mm-hmm. Like, it would be fun to get into the mechanics and the details.
That hat would weigh like 10 pounds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would have to make it out of the lightest foam possible.
Mm-hmm. And have, like, supports in the hood, yeah.
Yes. I've seen women do it. Like, I've taken pictures.
It's always impressive.
And it's so good.
I feel
so
the need to dress up as a Zord if your dressing is really important.
I have seen, I have seen a Megazord that was amazing.
That all goes back to the cardboard Gundams and all that. If you're going to do armor, you know, there's people out there, there's heavy armor guilds that are really, really good at it, and find them because...
Oh, yeah, the Warhammer cosplayers.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
They're insanely awesome.
They stand out in the crowd.
Yes, they do.
What's the brass ring you're aspiring?
You know, that's the funny thing is I used to have brass rings and I've stopped the idea of, for instance, I wanted to do Ursula for years and years. And honestly, people like, it's not that great of a cosplay that I did, but,
it was fun.
I spent 10 years building it, because my concept changed over and over again. And I had to get past this idea of what I wanted it to be, that it was this ideal thing. And I had to learn to embrace the fun. And once I could figure out how to get past what I needed it to be and how to embrace the fun, just like Wonder Woman, it was the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I could cut through, I could do it. And the cosplay fabrication was pretty quick comparatively. And, but yeah, I bought the first piece of that 10 years before No, I bought it like 9 years before I actually.
Don't look in our other rooms.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a bunch of things where, you know, sometimes I'll order something and it'll come in and Tech will say, what is that? And I say, oh, it's for cosplay. Which cosplay? I don't know yet.
Yeah, thrift stores.
We'll go to thrift stores. Yeah, oh, goodness. When we go to thrift stores, it's like, this could be used for this costume, and this could be used for three different costumes, and whether we will ever actually use them, who knows. But
yeah, it was the first piece that I bought was I bought a shell that was perfect for the necklace.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first piece. And mm-hmm. I've been working on it ever since. But once I figured out that I don't need to be perfect, that all I have to do is find the fun, I don't really have anything that's too high. Honestly, if I had to answer it, I think, and this is the dilemma I have now, I was going to do a major, a Motoko Kusanagi cosplay, which I thought was going to be really ambitious.
It's your hairspiration.
Yeah, it is my hairspiration.
As your husband, I would say that if you dressed up as the major, we may never leave the house.
Well, that might be okay because
things may occur.
There are problems.
This is a PG-13 podcast, so you may be stuck places.
Yeah.
Yes.
The problem with wearing that to a convention now is I have not seen and I have no intention of seeing the live action movie that was whitewashed. Yeah. And I don't want people thinking that I am dressing as the major because of that movie. And so I think
isn't
I'll have
that
to
frustrating
die down. Yeah. And the other
this
challenge,
is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah.
Before I was Techno Boy, before this became my internet name, I for my formative years and for a long time, my name online was Dark Angel.
Ah, yes.
And then Jessica Alba came along and ruined it all. Because being a guy named Dark Angel for a long time was no problem. But when Dark Angel meant that you were a smoking hot Latina, the requests that were being sent to me online were
inappropriate
and kind of disgusting. So that name
you
had
to be on a woman online for a while.
Yeah, yeah. It sucks. I agree. And when people think
a
that
woman
you
with
are
opinions?
Representative of a thing that you don't like, it's it kind of reminds me of that
Michael
character.
Bolton.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say. The character from Office Space named Michael Bolton and is like, it was a perfectly fine name until he had to come along.
So the gold standard cosplay to which I aspire.
Mm. Yes.
I'm halfway through building.
Oh, nice.
I'm halfway through building the hat. Because
I was going to say, you're not halfway through building it.
Because I realized that the rest of it is a challenge to which I am not ready yet. And the first step is to fix my sewing machine. And after that, I can start working on gaining the skills to build the cosplay. Because if it's a Star Wars cosplay, there's an organization, especially for the bad guys, called the 501st. And the 501st is an amazing charity organization of Star Wars Imperial cosplayers who strive to be screen accurate. And to get your seal of approval from the 501st for your costume is a big thing because it has to be the right gloves, the right boots, the right hat, the right undershirt.
And they also have tiers.
Right. They have different levels of how crazy do you want to go with your Stormtrooper or your Darth Vader or whatever. So as a special treat for the one viewer, hi Shane, on the YouTube, I will now show you where I am with my next cosplay.
Okay.
They can't hear you.
No, it's behind my chair. Hold on. Here it is. It is.
Right. Nice.
Nice.
So are we going to fill in the audio listeners?
So to everybody else who can't see, I am going to do a cut.
You're going to be Padme. That is great.
That is awesome.
Oh, my God. That'd be a fun cosplay, especially if it's Padme really in the bits.
No, if I'm going to do
Kylo Ren. Excellent. Excellent.
If I'm doing a crossplay, I am going to do a Forest Moon of Endor Leia.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The really cool camo poncho and the little braids.
Wait, are you just going to put on my costume?
Yes.
Yep.
Already in the house.
Okay, so gold standard, by the way, I do want to match your Star Wars, so I have less qualms about Star Wars cosplaying because my Leia is not 501st approved.
I have to finish what I have yet
okay,
to do.
Go ahead.
So
I want to do Kylo Ren. He's tall and skinny. I'm tall and skinny. There's no skin exposed, so my skin color and what I actually look like doesn't matter because I'm going to be wearing like a helmet and like the whole thing. I can do Kylo, and he's angry. I'm angry. I can just walk around being angry and like smash elevator buttons and oh, look, he's in character. It's great. Meanwhile, I just want to go back to my room. So I think there's a lot of potential here for play and that you can have a lot of fun, you know, smashing on the desk at the hotel or smashing on the desk at the convention panel or whatever. And everybody goes, oh, he's in character. Meanwhile, he's just inside being really, really angry. But there's four different layers of clothing that go to make his screen accurate garb of various lengths. And there's half inch pleats rippled up the sleeves of his shirt that I can't sew yet because my sewing machine can't do it yet. And just the level of patience required to get the zips and the closures and everything in the proper place and finding the right boots and the right gloves. And because I don't know, maybe it's just me being way too picky, but I've seen bad Kylo Ren cosplays and they look bad. So
it has some subtlety to it. Yeah.
So my goal for myself is my Kylo Ren cosplay will be 501st ready.
I think that the costume designers made his costume and a couple others
specifically as a giant middle finger to cosplayers. Yes,
specifically hard. And that is 100% the truth. Although I have heard the tales of sewing Jedi robes, which you two, I'm sure, understand, and how awful it is. And as a friend says, make sure you do your first robes out of bed sheets and not the expensive material. Because when I say your first robes, I mean they're your first robes because you're you'll never get it on the first go. It might take you three or four. And so the next cosplay I really want to do is Star Wars. I will not be going 501st ready for anything because I don't have the patience for it. But I've done Leia Moon of Endor. And by the way, that was designed to be warm because it was meant to be a fall cosplay. And I was going to be standing out giving trick-or-treats out. So I made the poncho out of fleece. And then I used it again in the summer. And surprisingly, it wasn't too hot. Simply because if I got hot, I just floofed it up a little. But I wore summer pants instead of winter pants, made it better. But I want to do General Organa. And I think I want to do it flight suit, purple vest one.
Nice.
And I think that'll be not too difficult either. I don't go into the crazy difficultness. So when people are listening to this, they're thinking, oh gosh. This is hard.
Okay. So this is what I really wanted to talk about.
Yes.
Because this is sort of my personal journey into cosplay. I started out as buying costumes online. You know, just looking at Chinese websites, especially.
and we would and alter things and make bits and pieces, but a lot were, and buy stuff from different places and put them together and thrift store, but it was all bought.
Then we went very far into like thrift store cosplay, buying things from thrift stores, altering them. And this whole time I was saying, well, I want to start sewing. I want to learn how to sew, but I don't know. I might have to take classes and never really sewn before. I don't even know how to do it. So I was actually at a con in Birmingham, Alabama. And it was a weird con that was like a hotel connected to a mall. So you could just go over to the mall to the, Like, I went over to the Starbucks, and I was, wearing a very simple costume and was talking to this other woman who had a great costume on and talking about it and, saying, well, I want to learn how to sew. And she was like, just do it. Just do it right now. As soon as you go home, get a sewing machine and just start doing it. And I was like, oh, well, I don't really know. And she's like, you put two pieces of fabric together, you start sewing. And then you start getting better. I did
yeah
and it worked
and it worked
there's this fear that we have sewing is a great craft, and you watch things like Project Runway and you, oh my God, it's so impossible. And these things look like garbage and, oh, and these are supposed to be the best people, but really you're not a fashion designer. You're making costumes. Sewing is not as difficult. The hardest, you're going to get to you. The hardest thing about sewing is threading a needle and threading the gosh darn bobbin.
Yeah.
If you're using machine. But Tech, how did you learn to sew?
Oh, no, the army taught me because I had to put my own button.
No, but I mean using a machine. How did you learn to sew?
Putting two things together.
Yeah.
And jamming the button. Yeah, exactly.
By doing.
Right. And it was actually middle school that we had to learn to use a sewing machine, and we all had to make little stuffed animals as our project.
Oh, well, that's right. You had more sewing experience.
Right,
than
I'm a little my point is, I remember watching an episode of Project Runway where their project for the day was they had to make lingerie. And everybody got really upset at this. And they're like, oh, I mean, how simple is lingerie? It's just triangles stuck together. Why would I ever do this? I'm an important fashion designer. Why would I ever think to lower myself to just making triangles? And here I am on the couch going, I like lingerie, and I like my wife, and I like triangles. I can do this. So if anybody here is learning to sew...
So we're going there. Okay.
Right. If anybody here is ever learning to sew, start with base layers. Base layers are triangles, and they're really easy to sew, and they're really easy to make. And let me guess, a little bit of inside baseball here, they're really, really fun to measure on your model.
And see, triangles are my favorite shape. 3 points where two lines meet. Let's test. Okay. Sorry.
See, I was told to, make a vest first.
Mm, yes. Nothing with sleeves. Like sleeves are hard.
Sleeves are hard, and a vest is four panels. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like that was much more innocent advice.
So that's one of the cool things that I love about cosplay. So Angela has learned to sew. Like I said, I grew up not knowing all of these how to fix stuff. Tools and all those things. So I've learned to use a drill. I've learned the ins and outs of a lot of different kinds of adhesives. I've learned to use a heat gun. I've got several tools back there that I have nowadays.
Like
different saws. And, yeah. So stuff that I really would have been useful for me to know, like as a life skill, I've learned only because I really wanted to make a Dr. Yeah. Octopus outfit. And that's one of the things I like about cosplay is like just learning new stuff.
I developed a really cool lesson plan with a hands-on project for students through cosplay, because a circle skirt is pi. Mm-hmm. You use your measurements plus pi to make a circle skirt, and it's stupid easy. And I was thrilled at this.
What? Math? No!
I wish that we would have talked to you, because when we made Angela's rose quartz dress, then I had in my head how easy this would be.
Did you use the Fibonacci sequence instead?
No, we used nothing. We used no sequence. We used pins.
What we ended up doing was putting the hoop skirt on her, getting it to like we wanted it, measuring her at different points, and then cutting out swaths of fabric just to match those measurements and cross our fingers and pray that they match up. And it turned out okay. But
and you're sitting here going, wow, pie.
The whole time, I knew that there was some method because, the problem was the angle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because as it goes up the body, then, there's a ratio for how long it needs to be here and then here and then here and then here and then here. And I wasn't getting that. And so we went through a couple drafts.
If you've ever worked from patterns, you can't figure out how they're made and how the math works them together. But circle skirts are the easiest thing in the world to make. And if you use a material that some material doesn't fray. So if you use a material that doesn't fray, your costumes are really easy because you don't even have to bother with hemming because it sucks. But here's what I want to say is you don't have to know how to sew.
No.
You don't need an engineering degree. Yes?
There's a guy in the East Coast, and we know him. His name is Adam.
Yes.
And
he's a doctor for physics.
He is a doctor for physics. You can find him.
He's not a real doctor for physics. He just plays one on Twitter.
You can find him on Twitter at Doctor the Numeral for Physics. He is probably my favorite low budget cosplayer.
Oh, it's so fantastic.
He goes to local thrift shops and buys hoodies. And all of his costumes are hoodie based.
Yes. Or cardboard based.
Or cardboard based. So what he does is he finds an old hoodie in the appropriate color, and he uses public transit to get around. And while he's sitting on the bus, he hand sews needle through fabric and adds different swatches of colors to the hoodie to make the costume that he wants.
Nice.
He's currently right now I think it's on Twitter and on the Book of Faces. So look up at Dr. Numeral 4 Physics, and you'll find what he does. He draws a stick figure Deadpool every day, and it's Deadpool cosplaying as other people.
Yeah, he does that. Yes. It's the second year he's done that for October.
And they're really good.
Yeah.
But my favorite of all his cosplays, and it's an obscure character from an obscure background character from My Little Pony, and it's DJ Pone 3, DJ Pone E, like the really cool super DJ. He found a white hoodie, but there were logos on the front, and he couldn't find a way to like get the logo off the fabric, so he turned it inside out. And nice. Now it's fuzzy on the outside, yeah. So it looks even more pony-like.
Nice.
And then he just like made triangles of blue and purple cloth. And
like lingerie.
Triangles like lingerie.
Right, exactly, just like lingerie. So he made these triangles, blue and purple, to make the hair, and he just stuck them onto the hood and puts on a pair of goggles and walks around as DJ Pone 3 and gets all kinds of accolades because it's a really, really, really cool costume.
I can't remember what the costume was, but he had a costume where the base layer had to be yellow, and it was like University of Michigan or something like that on it. And he just took yellow felt and sewed it over top and then just worked all the accoutrement on, and you never noticed.
Nice.
You want to talk about the air mechanic?
No.
Because he did an air mechanic cosplay, and it was a leather costume, so he just bought the cheap vinyl and he was sewing it all together. And the only problem was when he made the gloves, he had to make them a couple of times because all he did was trace out his hand. It was awesome.
So let's keep in mind that all of these fancy tricks, from a heat gun to a drill press to a vacuum form machine to an industrial CNC machine.
Yeah.
All of these things do nothing, absolutely nothing, but save time.
Yeah.
So if you are building a cosplay for you, don't think, well, I don't have a six-axis, $7 million CNC machine. I could never build Iron Man. No, you can. It's just going to take you a while because you're going to have to hand form all the pieces.
Mm-hmm. You can do it cheap, you can do it fast, and you can do it good. Pick two.
Yeah. Right. The holy triangle.
Yeah.
You can do two of the three. You know, cheap, fast, good. You're never going to get all three.
But here's the other. Well, my Moogle was all three. but here's the thing. It's not the CNC machine. It's not the.
They make the music factories, though.
Screen. Yes. It's not the screen accuracy that makes your cosplay good. And this is the difference between cosplay and costume. Mm-hmm. What makes your cosplay good is where the fun comes in.
It's you.
It's you.
You make
the cosplay good. It's your vision, because we're not just matching. We're creating something new because it's ourselves as these characters. Mm-hmm. I am not Ryan Reynolds. You know, I am not going to be Deadpool. It's hard to believe.
I mean, I'm
Ryan Reynolds, but it's a different kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be as witty as Deadpool. I'm not going to be as gnarly looking as Deadpool. I'm not gonna be Ryan Reynolds, but if I cosplay as Deadpool, it's gonna be something new because it's me.
So me as a white guy, if I walk in with, you know, like a week's growth on my beard and a Sailor Moon costume and a bad attitude, it's never going to work. But there's Beardy Man.
That's a different guy.
There's a beardy cosplayer who lives in Japan as a white dude with a big full beard who specializes in girl anime cosplays. And he does an amazing Chun-Li, and he does an amazing Sailor Moon and all these other ones because he gets into the character.
Yes.
And if you're going to do Sailor Moon, I don't care what you look like. If you're not doing, if somebody said, can I take your photo, and you're not doing the, and I will punish you.
Of course.
You're not.
Yeah, said, of course.
Of course. Yeah. If you're not getting into the character, if you're just going to stand there in a huff and slump, it's not going to work. The difference.
Yeah. Usagi is not the pouty one.
No. What makes a cosplay is you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got to say, to the two of you, your cosplays are so amazing.
And yeah. Practice posing. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Practice. Find a pose. Find the thing. Find.
Yeah. That's something we need
really,
to work on.
What makes the doc? Well, it makes the doc so much fun, and it doesn't work without the beak. But if you're watching this on the stream, it's this.
Yeah,
he's the just head tilting his head slightly to the side.
Take a tip from Michael Myers. That head tip speaks volumes, yes.
Yeah. Right, especially when I've got a 14-inch beak sticking out of my face because it gets amplified, because we've all learned from Nutty's example about circles and why they're important. Pi is a big number, and when it gets amplified due to radii, the beak, it makes a big difference.
You're such a dork.
I know.
The other thing that makes your Clockwork Doctor cosplay so good is you don't talk.
No, I never talk when I'm in the doc scene.
And it's creepy, and he just does little...
That's a
right, like,
very good thing when he doesn't talk. So.
I know, right? It's weird for a cosplayer.
She's so mean to you.
But, you know, somebody will ask him a question and he'll just shrug.
Yeah.
And just these little tiny creepy looking pantomimes.
You know what my inspiration for that was?
Hush?
Hush from the episode.
Yeah.
Where they actually got mimes to come in to play the silent characters. And there's that scene where he holds up a scalpel and shows it to his friend, and his friend just claps. I love that scene. That is so good.
And some people do the costuming and some do more cosplay, more in character. I sort of split the difference. I'll you know, strike a good pose and everything. I don't always get fully into character, but when it comes to kids, man, when I see kids, I will ham it up for them. And I don't care how tired or beat down I am. When I see a kid, then I'll talk to, but especially if a kid is in a costume, I will always praise that costume and try and make them feel good.
Yeah.
About
I
it.
Always how treat many little a kid.
Kids, how many little kids Spider-Man have you horrified?
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I was coming back, and it was the end. Like my back was killing me. We had done the big posing thing at a Marvel photo shoot. And so I was coming back, and then this little kid in the foyer of the hotel was dressed as Groot, just a little, you know, Walmart Groot costume. And he was like, I know who you are. You're Dr. Octopus. And so I told him, yes, I am. And he's like, I bet I could beat you up. And I bet you could. Groot's really tough, isn't he? And, you know, because I want little geeklings to not have to feel bad about liking stuff like I did when I was little.
Yeah, you want to encourage them. I treat every kid I see in a costume like they are that character. Mm-hmm. And that's not just at a convention. Okay, so another part of Tech's cosplay, which is fantastic, is he uses it to horrify children at Halloween.
Yes.
So we live on the street for trick-or-treating.
Oh, that's so
nice.
And
this is the second time in a row. Our first house, we lived on the street where nobody lived. And then we lived on the street that it was the one long straight road.
The main drag through our neighborhood.
Yeah, and people would drive, park, and go trick-or-treating. And now we've moved to another neighborhood that we are that same street. So, and up here in Canada, because Halloween is cold up here, okay?
Yeah.
It's making making your costume a size bigger to fit your snowsuit on underneath.
Yeah.
We were so happy that it was 70 degrees today. It's the coolest it's been.
You wear at Christmas? No. It's a suit you wear in the snow because there's lots of it and it doesn't all belong in a drink.
So anyway, so it's cold, but so the trick-or-treaters come between 6 and 9, and that in the States, in New York, trick-or-treaters will come all day, all night.
Mm-hmm.
But here It's only certain roads and like jam pack these hours. Like, so we don't go back in the house because we'll just see the next group coming up. So Tech will stand outside under the light, just standing there in his costume. And nice. I'll sit off onto the side and the kids will come up and they'll go trick or treat and they'll go for candy. And then he'll lean over and touch them on the shoulder. I remember I said he doesn't speak. Mm-hmm. So they look up and they'll talk to him and he'll just shake his head. And most of them can't figure out, is he real or is he a decoration? What's going nice. On? And the parents lose it. They absolutely love it. And we've had a few kids get so scared that they didn't want to take the candy.
Aww.
And so I'd offer it to the parents and the parents go, nope. They can't take it. They don't get it.
I've had to completely take off the hat and the yeah. mask and the hood.
Yes, he has broken
underneath.
Character.
I've had to break character and say, it's like, look, I'm a real person. It's not scary. It's just pretend. It's just Halloween. It's like, do you want the candy now? No. I had this one little girl so horrified. She fell off the step and she landed on my front lawn. And
the step is like this big,
right?
By the way.
It's
yeah, yeah, but still.
She just fell off the step. She landed sitting down, and she wanted to get up and run back to Daddy that was waiting on the curb, but she couldn't get up fast enough, so she just backwards butt scooch the whole way back off the lawn, and Dad
just keeping
laughed,
your eyes on you,
laughed the whole time, and then she's hiding behind his leg. I'm like, "Do you want the candy now?" No, go away.
And then there's some kids where you take the mask off and they go, "Oh, you're just a person."
Yeah.
Okay.
The one that the thing that gets me the most is kids who won't come up. They're like, "It's gonna move." I don't want it to move. And
they're afraid you're going to jump out at them.
So which these is kids the have understood what I hate about Halloween and what I hate about horror is that the jump scare is the easiest scare to get. The startle, the boo is the easiest one to get.
And it's not fun.
No, it sucks. It's so I don't like being startled. I enjoy being
like being startled.
No, I enjoy being scared. Like a good creepy film, like the original Alien, is a great film. But one of these modern horror movies, I don't like. So, I stand very very still, and I don't move. And when I move very very slowly and deliberately, and my first move is always direct eye contact with the parent. And if the parent waves me off, I stop, because we live in a place where we have a lot of special needs kids, and my goal is to have fun. I'm not here to deliberately horrify anyone.
Yes,
that'd be too easy. So you know, if I get a wave off, I stop and I go back to where I am. But, you know, I'll go up and I will just – when Nutty will open up the bag of candy and give the kid a choice, which is a trick, because the kid gets to pick the best piece. So they're rummaging through the bag to find the best piece of candy. And while they are so distracted, it gives me a minute to sort of float on in over their shoulder and just tap them on the shoulder.
And by the way, these kids get rewarded with full-size bars or a can of Coke.
Right, or cans of Coke. Because we are that house. We're the house without kids, so we are the reward house. We are the full-size bars and cans of pop house. Or soda, if you're from the States. It's pop up here.
It's all Coke down here.
You're right, or it's all Coke if you...
Whether it's a Sprite or whatever else. Do you want to get a Coke? What kind of Coke? Pepsi.
I love the South. Anyway, but the thing that I love is that it's regardless of age or gender or any other factor as to who gets scared and who doesn't. I can never tell. And I think
my favorite was the daughter of the host of Epic, Mark, when she came over and had no problem with the doc. But when Rory came out, she was terrified.
My tiny little dragon puppet. Anytime Rory'd go roar, she would cry and bury herself in the couch cushions.
She couldn't be in the same room with him.
Want nothing to do with Rory because he was the scariest thing alive. But the doc was just cute and fun and she'd give me hugs. But I have had the tiniest, sprightliest little three-year-old girl look at my mask, just look up at me and go, "That's not real," and try to rip the mask off.
So, Oh, go ahead.
And I have had like 11, 12-year-old Captain Americas fall down to their knees, drop their candy, and burst into tears.
So,
Before you go on, Heath, I do want to say, so Tech and I also, we help teach the juniors Aikido class here in town. Mm. And my favorite, because our martial arts club is a base club and we live on base, we have a high chance of kids from the club coming to our door, because about half the students are military and about half those military students live on base. And so we always say, by the way, Aikido kids get extra candy, but we always have them perform Aikido on us. So it's always fun for the other kids to see, like, the clockwork doctor getting Nikajo, you know, a wrist lock put on him.
Yeah, I pay out double candy for good wrist locks.
And then getting tons and tons of candy so they get really, really confused. So what was it you were going to say, Heath?
Yeah, so our nieces, they're very different personality-wise. And the older one, she's pretty outgoing, but when it comes to scary stuff, she doesn't like that.
She's princess.
Yeah, she's very, princess. Very princess.
Yes.
The younger one is a bit more... I think she's going to be the geekier of the two, and she loves...
She's like, a goth girl in the making.
Little goth girl, yeah. And they're about 2 years apart, and so...
Oh, horrible. We need to stop this right away.
Yeah. Yeah, so they went to a haunted house in our hometown, and the older one didn't want to go, and that was... didn't want to go in, and that was fine. The little one, though, she wanted to go, but she dressed up in her bat costume. She wanted to be a bat. And she dressed up as a bat because if she was a monster, then the other monsters wouldn't get her because she was a monster.
That sounds logical.
That's cool. At the
time. Yeah, she was like four. I loved her logic. Like,
yeah,
that's wonderful.
As long as I'm a monster, then it's fine because they're just other monsters.
Yeah. So. Yep. I love it. So, yeah, so getting back to cosplay and less on Halloween. Yeah. But the other thing there...
As far as the Halloween link, you mentioned the creepiness of silent characters. Have you seen Trick or Treat? It's a Halloween. It's like Trick or Treat.
If I did, it was a long time ago.
So it's like a series of vignettes, but the character that ties it all together is named Sam, and it's a very creepy sort of Halloween mascot character that gets a lot of mileage by that, by the blankness and the not speaking. I think y'all would really like it.
Yes.
Yeah. But there was a cosplayer that did that and was in character the whole time.
Never talked.
Creepy.
That's fantastic. So the reason I chose this topic for this week, by the way, is Halloween is right around the corner. So, of course, it's fun. I have had other episodes about like the basics or how to do this cheaply. And so we're not going to get too much into that. But I do also want to make people realize that you can make your own costumes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have to be able to sew or engineer. You can assemble them from other pieces and have them awesome. And as you get into it, you will start to learn things because you want to do them. Tech, tell me about your cravat.
Trying to build a proper cravat for my costume has been a trial, and it's taken a long time, and I've tried various things, and I've tried various ties that I already own, and nothing has looked right. And it was my good friend Aiden who came over, who was pretty handy with the sewing machine, and it was, no, the secret is just make the thing inside out and just pull the thing out, and there you go.
And because... It's the shiny material in a tie with the pattern. You have to do it at an angle. You didn't know that either, right?
What do you mean, make it at an angle.
You have to cut it at an angle. Right. You can't just block it.
It's because of the fabric, because it's silk. Mm. If you cut it square, it frays. So it has to be on an angle, on a 45 degree on the pattern. But then the whole trick and the big secret I've learned in sewing. If you don't know how to sew and you don't know how to do all of these like crazy stitches, just whatever you're making, just make it inside out.
Yeah.
And then flip it around and all of your seams disappear.
Yeah. And that's sewing.
Pucker seams are a thing.
Yeah.
That's what I did for the first thing that I made. I was doing a group cosplay for a character that I didn't know about because I didn't watch the show, but my friends wanted to do this cosplay.
Oh, that's hard.
It was the legendary Sannin from Naruto.
She was Jiraiya.
Yes, I was the big guy with the big white hair, and he was sort of a lech. And I didn't know this character, but they wanted to do the other two. So that was the first costume that I made. So I got a pattern that would work because it was sort of like a karate gi top, and then a vest that you put over it that just was that without sleeves. And I actually got a pattern. It didn't go up to my size, so I got some tracing paper, watched YouTube videos, got a French curve, and learned how to size up patterns up to my size.
Yeah, and as a guy that studied drafting, when I hear someone say, "I got a French curve and learned to use it," oh my God, my heart. Oh, yeah, I love you.
And I am not spatial, like, that is not my thing.
We're both terrible at that.
Yeah, we're both terrible at that. But I'd sort of learned a little bit from learning how to knit and learning how to read patterns. So I very painstakingly learned how to do this. Heath could tell you about how many curses that came from the kitchen as I was on the table painstakingly learning how to do this.
So I have a neat little trick that I do when I need to make something, because finding patterns in my size is, it just doesn't happen. Okay. They don't make costume patterns in my size,
even though they literally could. And it would cost them nothing.
It's a plus size pattern. It goes up to size 16. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's not even a size 16. It's like what size 16 was in the '80s. Anyway,
yeah.
Have they been to conventions? We are not by and large a small bunch. There are a lot of people there.
You said by and large. The type of people who would make their own clothes would tend to be the people who can't find those clothes on the rack. So you'd think there would be this really big industry of plus size patterns, and no.
60-something percent of people in America are plus size, and yet the 90% of the stores do not cater to them. So none of this logic makes sense. So my little trick is, if I need something, I try to find something similar in my closet. I lay it down and I make a pattern for that. So I needed I bought this pattern and I was able to size up the skirt, made it way too big for my first steampunk, because it always ends up being too big. I don't know why. For my first steampunk cosplay. And so I made that, and I had a shirt that I was going to wear under the corset, and I already owned a corset, and I just needed this little jacket to go with it. And I could not get the jacket right because sleeves are hard, and just sizing up a pattern, it didn't work. So I went to my closet and I found a little jacket that works. I laid it down, I traced it out, and I added where I thought the seams would be. And then I cut that out and I sewed it together, and it was perfect. And I still wear it to this day. And because I made it out of this stretchy lace, I didn't have to hem or do any borders. I just cut, sewed it together, and I can wear it anytime I want. And that is my tip, by the way. If you just need like one piece and you have something similar in your closet, you can do pretty good.
Sewing two things together is really easy. And, you know, you can watch a tutorial to see how to thread a needle and how to glue one piece of fabric to another with a piece of string.
Yeah.
How easy it is. Or using a hot glue gun to actually glue two things of fabric together.
Or bias tape.
It's really, really, really easy. Everything else after that does nothing but save time.
Yeah.
So it's all in you. I think the point we've been making this whole time is that what makes cosplay is not the costume. It's not the character. It's not the acting. It's you. If you want this, you can make it happen. One of the most inspirational cosplayers I've ever seen was at HalCon. She dresses as her favorite building.
One Penn Plaza
in New York City. It's her favorite building. So she is wearing this immaculately constructed cardboard thing of to anybody else who looks at it, it looks like a rectangle. It's a pretty bland looking building. If you compare it to the Empire State Building, the Chrysler Building,
and she and I had a nice little conversation. I said, so why One Penn Plaza? And she goes, I just think it has the best spirit of all the buildings in New York City. And then she showed me the binder that she had of all the pictures she had taken. She had taken other pictures, but all the reasons that she loved Penn Plaza.
She contacted the administrators of the building and told them that it was her favorite building in New York, and she was going for a trip, and she got to go up onto the roof, and she got to do all these things, and she took all of these photos. And
I said to her, I said, if it were me, I'd pick the Chrysler Building, but okay.
And her answer was,
oh, she's lovely too. She's just not my favorite.
if anyone who walks up to her says, what are you dressed as? All of a sudden a photo album appears and you will learn a history lesson about One Penn Plaza.
And she has this great routine that she does
on stage at every costume contest, where all of a sudden lightsabers come out that represent...
She's got two red lightsabers.
That represent the blinking landing lights for the helicopter pad on the roof. And she will do this choreographed dance routine as a bloody building.
Nobody else gets her passion, but you can't help but be impressed by it.
It's cool. If I can think that a horrible rectangle in New York City is cool, then anything can be cool. And anything, you can have fun with anything. But the thing is to have fun.
Yes.
And the secret is you. I don't care if it's a screen accurate Wonder Woman or if you're a 450-pound white dude playing Wonder Woman. It doesn't matter. Do you rock it? Do you do the pose? Did you go on stage doing a twirling transformation sequence? Rock it. Do it. Own it. Yeah. And I'll fall in love with that well before I comment that, well, you used a 2-in-1 stitch when you should have used a 3-in-1 because that's not screen accurate.
I'm so glad we didn't see the first time we really cosplayed. We really committed to a cosplay was the first modern HalCon. And their judges the first year must have been from some historical society.
Oh, dear.
Because they almost disqualified me for not making my own steel-boned corset.
Wow.
And steel instead of whale, really?
Yeah, exactly.
And they didn't...
I was disqualified.
Well, you weren't disqualified, but they were like, but what part did you actually make? Right. You didn't
because
make the pants.
Because
you didn't
I
make
didn't
the coat.
Form the felt of my own hat. Yeah. And because I didn't sew my coat... No. Because I had a store-bought Reverend coat that I had stitched on the accoutrement.
Yeah, he has all of the pockets and the cuffs are custom added on brocade.
I smashed in my own grommets over the brocade. Everything is stitched in or glued on. But because I didn't sew my own jacket, that gave me minus points over the professional Twi'lek that was charging $5 a picture.
Right.
And I got really mad. They're like, well, you didn't really make the coat. I go, I didn't darn my own socks either. Yeah. Are you going to judge me on that? These are store-bought underpants. How screen accurate do you want me to get? I mean, I glued my hands together five times making the mask. Yeah, but did you make the hat? No, it's a store-bought hat that I put accoutrement on. Oh, I'm sorry.
But I think they've gotten better. And I've heard from other conventions and stuff, and I really appreciate this when a larger convention has different levels.
I was going to talk about that. Yeah, Dragon Con, well, they have different contests. They have like the masquerade for the ones that want to put on the skits and do the big show, and then they have the straight up costume contest. And you talked about the ones that wore the same costumes to different cons to win every one of them. At Dragon Con, they have a rule to where, like, if you have one first place with this costume, even at another competition, then you go from beginner to journeyman. And then if you've won this many, then you become master. And they judge.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that helps alleviate some of that. But
they also divided it up by age.
Yes.
The younger cosplayers are in their own thing. And then there's the group cosplayers. And they also have, like, a hallway costume contests. For if you don't want to do like a show, then you can just line up in a hallway and they will have judging, and it'll be a place where people can come and interact with you and see your costume.
Cool. At Balticon, what they have is a photo booth.
Yeah.
Where anyone can go and get their photo taken by a professional photographer, and their photo gets added to a lineup on the table.
Nice.
And it goes by judging, where you walk by and just put a ballot in a box for which one was your favorite, and they win a prize.
They also have the performance and the, you know, right.
A full-on masquerade. But they have one for just the hall costumes of just who went by. My personal favorite one year was a guy that had a costume. He was dressed as a safari hunter that was being eaten by a snake. So there is a large stuffed snake wrapped around his abdomen, and his left arm is the puppet that is the snake head. So as he walks around the con, he's got this big snake that like looks at other people or goes and attacks him on the neck, and he gets to look all scared and horrified. But it was just a cool piece of puppetry. It's a cool looking costume.
And we never do that, and I don't know why. And I never get a good pictures of myself. So I really need to make sure I do it, because it's a great photographer too. At least the last year. Last year it was Bruce Pets taking all the pictures.
Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Bruce.
We love you.
Well, he knows that. You should.
He'd better by now.
But so I mean, I really appreciate when cons have those different levels. And I haven't been to one or participated in one ever. I know that the Halcon one got better.
Left a bad taste.
Yeah, and you know what? I am more about the reactions in the hallway than anything else. I don't do this for recognition. I do it because I actually find walking around outside of a costume at a con less fun. It's not as fun if I'm not wearing a costume.
That's why having some simple costumes. Yeah. If you want to do like everything, that's why we do like the Bob's Burgers.
I love your Bob's Burgers. Yes.
Those are the simplest things. It's a t-shirt and a skirt and a wig. Yes. And
But you have the friend fiction notebook. And that's what makes it.
I do. Though that is the one that I get the weirdest reactions from dudes. Really? I usually don't get catcalled. Like, just something about my whole aura just sort of resist that until I put Tina on, and suddenly it's like, you like butts. Hey, Tina.
So many if it had been just passing people, it's like, you know, a quick comment, but no, just hollering across hallway, butts. It's
like,
why?
Okay.
Okay, there's a lot more to that character, but
I'll be honest. There are some cosplays that make me yell across a hall. I think my favorite is...
But are you yelling butts?
No, it is not. Good. But if I see someone dressed as Solid Snake...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Snake! And then he just looks and goes, oh. And if it's someone dressed as Snake as a cardboard box, you just have to ignore him because he's not really there, or try to load him on a truck. Yeah.
You did get Can I Grab Your Tail when you were Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, but that was like 2 o'clock at night on the streets of Atlanta when we were coming back from a team.
That is one of the most annoying things.
Yeah.
If you have a tail or anything that protrudes, for some reason, if you're a woman, people want to touch it or do things to it.
And these dudes was yelling behind me. Like while I'm walking with Heath and another friend, and it's late at night, and I'm like, I just want to get back to my hotel. Just get back to the hotel. And so they're like, hey, can I grab your tail? And like, they're right up on me. And I was like, no.
Didn't even turn around. Kept walking. Just kept cruising.
And I felt annoyed at them, but I also felt good.
Yeah, no, that's a great response. The amount of people that asked if they could feel up my bumps on my Dalek costume was perplexing, because they're not anywhere near the chest. They're like far away and not
suspended on a hoop skirt.
Yeah, suspended on a hoop.
They're styrofoam balls glued to a hoop skirt.
It was my Dalek costume. The concept was to make it look as cheesy as possible.
Yes.
To the point that I actually wore a colander on my head and held a plunger and a whisk in either hand.
Yeah.
That was I went to a Doctor Who themed party and everybody there just loved the cheese of it. Mm-hmm. But the random people that have wanted to feel up my Dalek bumps.
Cosplay does not equal,
consent.
Absolutely,
and it does not
negate the need for it.
So you have no right to touch anyone at any time unless they let you. And even if that person is dressed as the sexiest dreamboat character from a show that you happen to like, it doesn't mean that they are that person.
And even if they're
cosplaying,
and
they are in character as that person, it doesn't give you the right to do anything at any time whatsoever. And at least ask first. One of my favorite interactions that I have done, and I've done this twice now as the Doc with the Big B, is I ran into a group of girls that were dressed as the entire cast of Sailor Moon. They had every scout. They even had a dude dressed as Tuxedo Mask. And they had Sailor Moon in the wedding dress. And they went outside this beautiful old-timey building in downtown Fredericton. And they did the wedding photos.
Yay.
And it was wonderful.
Yeah,
and I was there. I was there watching a group of Ruby cosplayers that were taking some photos, and they were all super cool with Nerf guns. And when they were done, I ran into a couple of my favorite cosplayers, because I'm a huge Sailor Moon fan. I have been since I was 14, and Jupiter has always been my favorite. I love Sailor Jupiter. So I run into Sailor Jupiter and Sailor Venus together at the vendors hall of the con. And I'm like, girls, I'm wondering if I could get a picture with the two of you in my costume. And they're like, yeah, sure. What would you like to do? I'm like, could I get a photo of Sailor Jupiter kissing me on the beak while Sailor Venus acts all huffy and jealous? And they said, yeah, sure. We'd love to do that. That sounds great.
Yeah.
So I put the beak on and we do a thing and I got the photo and it is amazing.
Yeah.
It is so bad. And the thing is she did it so in character with her hands behind her back and she's leaning forward just so and giving me just a light little peck on the beak that I can't feel because it's a styrofoam beak. Sailor Venus is all huffy and mad and pouting and jealous. The next year, it was two girls there in My Little Pony cosplay.
Pinkie Pie and Rainbow Dash?
Right, Pinkie Pie and Rainbow Dash. And Rainbow Dash is holding up a sign that says free hugs, and Pinkie Pie is holding up a sign that says free shrugs.
Nice.
Or reversed.
Are they reversed?
Yeah.
So then after that, it's okay, so... not that I will ever admit this to my 9-year-old niece, but Rainbow Dash is my favorite because she's 30% cooler. And can I get a kiss on the beak from Rainbow Dash while Pinkie Pie gets all huffy and jealous?
Reversed.
No.
Yeah. Yes, I have the picture.
So do I.
All right.
Yeah, I'm getting a kiss from Rainbow Dash. And it made such an amazing photo because it's funny and it's become a shtick. And I've asked bloody permission.
Exactly.
But how many people have made innuendo jokes about the beak?
That's the guys that are the guys that come up and try to stroke the beak.
No, don't do that.
No.
Just stop and don't touch it. It's paper mache and it's delicate and it's worth more than you. I'm a black belt in Aikido. I will make you regret every life choice that has led you to this point. Go away and don't touch me.
Do we let them actually touch the beak? No. They never get that close. But yeah.
What happened to the guy who tried to touch the real steel boning in your corset?
He got a hurt wrist.
Right. Yeah, right. And he learned that was a bad idea.
Yes. Yes, he did. Steampunk cosplay, somebody drunk at a party, was going around touching everybody. And apparently that was okay until I showed up and he starts, oh, is that real steel?
Nope.
Do not touch me. You touch me, you will be hurt. Wrist lock down on the ground, screaming out in pain. And then his wife says, I told you. Why did you let him? Anyway, but yes, don't do that. Just don't touch people in general. costume irrelevant, but
how would you
and if you're going to
we are well over time, okay. Yeah. But this has been so much fun. So and I our listener,
Hi Shane,
is having a bloody good time.
I'm glad. So I have a question that I want to ask as a wrap up.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. Awesome.
And it's think of younger you. Think of a young person or younger you trying to get into cosplaying.
Like that guy.
A random 13-year-old out there who's like, oh my God, I love character X. I wish I could cosplay them because I can't because of Y.
I love Nepeta. I want to dress as Nepeta to a convention, something like that. Right. Speaking of someone we know.
I want to dress as something, but I can't because of whatever reason. What advice do you give to this young cosplayer?
So, I can't remember who said it, because there's a lot of celebrities out there who are really good at talking about these things. It's probably either Will Wheaton, Simon Pegg, or John Barrowman.
Yeah.
But three essentially, awesome dudes. Yeah, essentially the same advice that I give every nerd about nerdy things, which is essentially never apologize for loving the things that you love. Because, to paraphrase, jerks never apologize for being jerks. I feel like, and I think maybe these kids today have it a little easier because nerd culture is a little bit more acceptable, I would say, than it was, 25 years ago when I was a grade schooler, or 20 years ago when I was a teenager. Still, though, there's always somebody that's looking to make you feel bad about whatever they can and being interested in nerdy stuff and wanting to put on a costume and hang out with a bunch of nerds would probably fit into that category. So just telling them that it's okay to like stuff and that they can find a community of people who will appreciate and share their passions. I think that's the key there.
Yep. I agree.
Angela?
I would say, do what brings you joy because you are wonderful and you deserve that joy. And if it means putting on whatever costume that you want and going out and running around a con, and it doesn't matter what the costume looks like as long as it is fun and it's what you want to do, then don't feel like you can't do it for other people's opinions, because a lot of times those other people's opinions you've kind of made up in your head. Like you think you're going to get certain reactions and then you end up not. It's never as bad as you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
Also, we met our love of our lives because we were both reading Star Wars novels.
Yep.
So you never know where your fandom will lead you.
We were role-playing Star Trek Online. So.
We're role-playing Star Trek Online. That's how we met.
So I would say do it. Whatever you say that I can't do it because, find a way past it. For instance, currently I want to cosplay as the Major. The Major wears almost no clothing. I don't walk around with almost no clothing on.
I have no problem with this, by the way.
I know you don't. She is a very sexy looking character, definitely not my body type. And one of the reasons I want to cosplay as her is to overcome those challenges, because there's nothing, I have told myself there's nothing I can't cosplay as. Mm-hmm. And so that's actually part of the fun, is figuring out how to do these things. So I can't because of, find a way past it. And mm-hmm. there is an inspirational young woman that I am thinking of who likes to cosplay as Nepeta. And she may not have the people that are interested in cosplay in her everyday life, but she has pushed and she has found, as she says, her people. And she has pushed and got her whole family to go to a convention with her.
Aww,
and is so pushing nice. For more. And as she says, Mom, these are my people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's gone. Yeah. She cosplayed as a meme with her Girl Scout troop when they were selling cookies at a local convention and everybody went nuts for it. And then she went to a larger con. And she did two different characters from MS Paint Adventures, and people loved it. Mm-hmm. And she loved it. And you know, as Angela said, do the thing that brings you joy. If you want to do it, but you're afraid, find a way that you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, don't make sure you're safe and make sure you're comfortable. And if you're somebody that has a you know, like problems with anxiety, you have a support system. You have somebody go with you.
Have a net.
You find, yeah, you have a safety net, but push yourself to the joy that you're looking for.
And I also want to add in, like, do it your own way. I'm thinking particularly of the one hijab cosplayer that I saw that does, like, Wonder Woman and Batgirl and, like, all of these costumes with a hijab. Mm-hmm. And awesome. It's, so yes, cool. It's amazing. It's beautiful. Awesome. Like, it's awesome. And, you know, if you want to cosplay something and don't want to show skin, find a way to do it. Don't show skin. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, do these things to bring you joy and that match you and make you feel comfortable.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Tech?
A geek is someone who is not ashamed of his passions. And you can be a geek about anything from, like, the Detroit Red Wings to Cajun cooking, to Star Trek, or tiny little plants that look like trees, you know, bonsai, or everything in between. It doesn't matter. If you like it, you like it. And there are other people that like it too. And you can find those people. So your passion will shine through. Regardless what you look like or what you think you look like or what the character looks like. And if you want to dress up as Wonder Woman as a 400-pound white dude, or if you want to dress up as your favorite building in the New York City skyline, it doesn't matter. Rock it. Rock it. And your passion will shine through whatever flaws there may be in the stitching or the fabric, or who cares. Your passion is what makes the character true. Cosplay has that word play, and there's more letters in play than cause. It's more important that you are the character more than that's not the real fabric. It should be 900 thread count, not 800 thread count. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with me is you, and you need to go away and get out there, do your thing and rock it, and you will find haters. Mm-hmm. And there is a woman, a famous woman, that said a thing that haters are going to hate, and just shake it off. Because they're going...
I'm sorry. Are you quoting T-Swift on my podcast? No.
I am quoting T-Swift. No, don't disallow her.
I know, you're right.
She has a valid point.
She does.
Haters are going to hate. And
look what you made him do.
I know.
Right. And here's the reason why.
In point of fact, that was the old Taylor, and she's dead.
Tay-Tay is a thing now.
You need to listen to it. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's her new album.
It's a thing. Yeah.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing about that, though. Haters will hate because it's all they've got.
Yes.
We were attending a charity zombie walk. And there's 400 people shambling down the street like zombies. I'm dressed as the plague doctor at the back. I am marching my horde forward through
conducting
downtown,
us.
Conducting them and directing them around corners and through the graveyard as they go through all of Fredericton, New Brunswick. And these 10-year-olds go by on bikes. They're like, what are you doing? it's a charity zombie walk. They're like, zombies aren't real. You know it's fake, right? Zombies are fake. So who are you trying to convince with this? The grown-ups that are dressed in costume having fun for charity, or the 10-year-old that got scared who's trying to tell himself this for some sort of... No, it's just fake. What you're doing is fake.
Okay.
Okay, okay. You go have fun, because I'm having fun right now.
All right. So on that note, and by the way, basically that main idea that you said... you can be a fan of anything. You can be fanatical about anything, and you shouldn't be ashamed of who you are. I think you say on almost every episode, whenever we talk about almost any topic here,
it's always relevant.
Yes, it is.
Point.
It's the mission statement of this podcast.
I love the weirdest, most obscure things, and everyone does. I bet there's somebody out there right now listening to this who goes, of all of the flavors, I love cilantro. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Cilantro. And they're wrong, and that's okay.
No, they are right.
Because they
love cilantro. And go ahead and like it. I don't. It tastes like dish soap. But go ahead and like it, and your passion will shine through your cooking. I may not ask for a second helping, but if I can appreciate why you like it, I'll like it. And guess, you know, Angela, I'm sorry. Watson and the other guy's name, the detective. What's his name?
Sherlock.
Sherlock Holmes. I'm not a big fan. Because I couldn't even remember the character's name and trying. Yeah. But
I am.
But not he is. And you happen to have a doctorate in studying this obscure English character. And that's really, really, really cool. And what made it even cooler is that me being a gun dude was able to help you understand an obscure fact about an obscure side character of the obscure dude.
Which was awesome. And thank you for that, by the way.
That's what makes passions fun. It's where they mix. Just have fun with what you like, and you will find people out there.
Awesome. Tech, is there anything you're passionate about that you'd like to plug?
I really like getting slammed upside down and getting thrown around with this thing called Aikido. And if you want to find what I have learned, find me on Tumblr at upsidedownandflying.tumblr.ca.
Upsidedownandflying.ca or upsidedownandflying.tumblr.com. Heath, Angela, is there anything you're passionate about that you'd like to plug?
Pretty soon, the Red Dwarf intro cast will be making its return as Red Dwarf is starting its 12th season.
We're avoiding spoilers.
Yes, so after the season, we will record as usual. You can find it on Facebook, just the Red Dwarf intro cast, or the Red Dwarf intro cast.wordpress.com, I believe.
Yes.
And and that's it. So thank you everybody for joining us today. And we talked super long, but you know what? We had too much fun. I hope you enjoyed listening.
Yes.
Thank you and goodbye.
Bye everybody.
Shane, up done it.
Again, Paul, then open the window. There's no need to announce it.
No, not that. I've invented a machine that can erase our memory of Red Dwarf so you can watch it for the first time. Again.
Really? Is it safe?
Completely. Although you might also forget how to read, write, and do math.
I'm a politician. I don't need any of that.
Also, it would probably make your head explode.
And ruin my hair? No. Let's just find a lovely American couple who have barely even heard of Red Dwarf to watch the show with us. That would be the next best thing to seeing it for the first time.
Hi, I'm Angela. This is my husband, Heath.
What are you doing in my house?
Well, we're just your everyday American couple wandering about looking for someone who feels like watching a show we've barely even heard of with us.
Maybe recording a podcast about it.
That's really convenient.
And you can listen in on the fun with the Red Dwarf intro cast.
Check us out on iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlas.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nuttybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-9042.